You are listening to Fly Like an Angel. Fly Like an Angel is supported by arrangemymortgage.com.
So I'm very excited to do another episode of Fly Like an Angel, and with these two guests in particular, we have got a lot to go through. So my first guest, as always, co-host, which is now what you're being called, Lee Locke. How are you, Lee? Lee the Hitman Hone Locke. How are you? You all right?
Disappointed to be here once again, yeah.
Yeah, but as someone, as Dan said, there's only been two podcasts this year, so...
Excited to be here. I think that's what you said.
I did. Yeah, I'm very excited. I've been excited all day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good. And my second guest this evening is the return to podcast fan and regular Trevor Britton. How are you doing, Trevor? You all right?
I'm absolutely fine. I'm so delighted. I was such an exciting guest. I was first reserve after Harrison Parks dropped out.
But you know. Do you know what?
I'm not a bitter.
You weren't first reserve, actually. You were fifth on the list. No, I put the tweet out. Then I thought actually it would be great to have you on. And then Harrison dropped out about 10 minutes ago. So it was going to be the four of us. So there we go.
I believe it.
I'll show you the texts and everything. In fact, I'll get Harrison to tell you because that's true. I won't pay him. How are you though? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm fine, thank you. Yes, all well.
Good, good, brilliant. It's good to have you, Gav, having back on. So before we get started then, we've got a lot to get through. What a week, hey? A week in the life of Tunbridge Angels, as the club said, didn't they, on their official press release. But, well, obviously, we all know what's happened. So we've finished the season. We've stayed safe. Steve McKim has been released / let go, depending on... you know what's happened, and then we've now got Jay Saunders as our manager. So not only do we wear yellow and black,
mm-hmm. No, it's got to go.
We did change that horrible kit, weren't we?
I hope so. But no. So it's exciting times. But before we go through everything, and before we hear from Lee and Trevor, what I just want to do is just have a little trip down memory lane. Because as both of my guests will remember, when we were last in the Conference South before we got relegated, the club, I thought, was not in a very good place. We had Tommy Warrilow as manager, his third season in the Conference South managing Tunbridge. The second season in the Conference South was actually in a way very similar to this season, I think, in the sense that we just avoided relegation. A few key players then left in the summer, and then we all know what happened. We got relegated, and the club threw quite a lot of money at trying to keep us up, and it didn't go very well, which then meant that obviously Tommy left. We then, or the club, I should say, then gave Steve McKim his first management job. Now, obviously, Steve McKim was the first team coach at Sutton, having previously been a non-league player around Kent and London. And he came in. He had, as a new manager, had to rebuild a complete squad minus one player who then got injured in his first game. So he had a complete new squad. And we obviously did sort of flirt with relegation again that first season, but we stayed up with thanks to a couple of loan signings. I'd say Mitchell Pinnock. Obviously, then we got Nathan Elder in. And the club just felt in a better place. Now, this is my long introduction, but Lee wants to say something. I'm going to let you talk.
I was just going to say, is this the short version?
This is the short version. Yeah, it is. Yeah. This is the short version. And so then, obviously, you know, that was 2014 into 15. A few new faces came in the summer, and then that next season, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was when we then got into the playoffs and lost to East Thurrock in the semi-final. The likes of Nick Wheeler, Nathan Elder, we had Sonny Miles back, and it was quite exciting times, but obviously we didn't go up. We then had a couple of maybe indifferent seasons where we didn't maybe to perform as well as we could have done. But we had a League Cup final thrashing against Billericay, but it was excitement to get there. Players like Joe Turner come along, Johnny Henley. And then we had the famous season where we ended up winning the Super Playoff final, which didn't come without its hiccups along the way, let's say, because there was a period of time, especially over Christmas, where the club would have not been blamed for potentially seeking out a new manager. But they stuck with Steve. Steve got in some new players, was given a chance, and we got to the playoff semi. We got to playoff super final, sorry, via a interaction with Trevor at Potter's Bar along the way.
It's the motivation the man needed to see us across the line.
If it wasn't for that, it wouldn't. I love that. Take the credit. But of course, so after what, 5 years, the club was then back where we started. However, I feel in a much better position because we were obviously now a fan-owned club. The club had a good feel about the place. The players seemed to be fighting for the badge. And I feel that the place felt really good. COVID obviously hit our first season. Second season was behind closed doors. And then obviously COVID hit again. And then this was our third season, or first full season, depending on your view, in the National League South, and we stayed up. So regardless of views, and everyone knows, Steve knows, there's been times, especially in the first few years as him being manager, where I wasn't his biggest fan of his tactics. And regardless of that, I personally want to say thank you to Steve McKim for A, supporting the podcast, B, for sticking by me when I wasn't particularly nice to him at times in his first few years when I was younger, and for just, in my opinion, being a top bloke to me and for getting the club where it is now and not having a bad 8 years in his first managerial role. Controversial at times, me and Trev will confirm that, for being on the end of certain rants, but equally I'm sure as a football manager there's lots of things fans say that you can't retaliate to. So yeah, personally, I just want to say thank you to Steve McKim for the last 8 years. Sorry to see you go. It'll be sad. It'll be weird not seeing you and Barry and that around the place and change. It's a lot of change. We'll talk about the change and the exciting times coming up. But before we do, I just want to say from Fly Like an Angel and from me, just a massive thank you for where the club are. I don't know if either of you two want to add to that at all, or your thoughts.
Well, what do you want us to add? Thanks.
Well, the one thing I would say, and maybe this is something for Jay Saunders, I like one of the reasons I think you've said what you said is that Steve's made himself accessible, and yes. a lot of managers don't, and for better or for worse, you know, there are times when he probably wishes he didn't, or times when he wish he didn't, and I won't say, you know, it's save this time to speak to him is the week after the game, not in the bar afterwards. But it's that whole principle of actually being accessible, being willing to talk to fans. I mean, you know, he helped me a lot when Sam died, which he didn't have to do. And I know he's done things for other people as well behind the scenes. And so that I think for me is the measure of the man. If you leave aside the football and some of the nonsense, he's genuine, and what you see is what you get, which sometimes, as I say, sometimes is good and sometimes it's not, but that's all of us, isn't it?
Spot on. I think so. And there's something I'm going to add to that, but before I do, Lee, is there anything else you want to say other than thanks, or is it just thanks?
No, that was it.
Brilliant. Well, one thing that other than chats and stuff and phone calls, one thing that I thought, yeah, genuine and interacting with everyone. A little story, when we beat Hungerford, Tommy Wood, 98th minute winner, I'd been out, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast before, I don't think I did, so sorry if I did, I've just told a few people around the ground this story. I'd been out the night before, I was absolutely hungover at the game, and ended up being on the drums, so it wasn't great for the head. But after the game, I went into the bar, one of my friends, who is that Dulwich fan that I've mentioned on here a few times, came to the game with me. He sat behind at the back of the stand, and he had a great time witnessing an actual atmosphere compared to Dulwich. And we went into the bar afterwards, and first time for ages that I've been in the bar after the game, and obviously I said hello to a few of the players. On my way out, Steve was chatting to a gentleman, and so I didn't want to interrupt them, but I just tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Well done, mate, great win." And he turned around and gave me that look that I've been on the end of, and so is Trev before, that for about a second where I thought, oh God, what have I said or what have I done? And he went, Bobby, stay there. I want to talk to you. And he finished his conversation and he turned around. And in the night before on Instagram, I put a photo of a nightclub that I've been in with a few of my mates called The Swan in London. And obviously Steve's a cabbie, so he knows lots of areas of London. And he just looked at me and he went, The Swan? Naughty place, talk to me, how was it? And then we spent 5 minutes talking about the night, and he was asking me all questions, and I thought, you know what, I'm probably one of hundreds or thousands he's got on Instagram as a non-league football manager. He spotted that and highlighted that and talked to me about it. Fair play. I wanted to talk about tactics and football, and all he wanted to do was interrogate me about my night out at the Swan. So you know, that's just a nice little, I thought that was quite funny and sort of sums it up. But no thank you, Steve. And Lee, after that long story, just thanks. Yeah, still just thanks.
No, I've upgraded it. Cheers.
Cheers. And let's not forget as well, Barry Moore, Justin as well, James Scott, Adam Debman, Gaz, all the other coaching staff that we've had over the last few years. So yeah, thank you guys. Really appreciate it. Oh, and Stuart Copeland, but not for when you went in goal.
What for then?
Goalkeeping coaching, whatever goalkeeper coaches do, Adam Debrin will appreciate that. So then what happens. I've said this off air to these to Lee and Trev. What we won't do is talk about speculation, things that aren't out in the public domain, because that's not our job. But what we can do is then say what happened. We then had a game to play, St Albans, and Tommy Parkinson took over the team for the game. Trev, you were what looked like on an away day with your mates, it looked.
Yeah, it's a bit sort of recreation of the last of the summer wine, really. going back to my old stomping ground of Ilkley in West Yorkshire and school friends from 1975. So, it was an old man's pub crawl. Cracking, yeah. It was great. It's just like being 12 again.
Yeah, it always is, isn't it? No, it's brilliant. Oh, brilliant. So it was.
Unfortunately, I missed the best game of the season by the time.
You did. It was really good. It was, and I'm not just saying that. It was really good, Lee. I thought it was a great game. Now, for whatever reason, the players weren't playing without fear. Most likely because of the fact that we were safe. I thought they played with a sense of freedom, and there was a few players out there that I genuinely think had their best game in a Tunbridge shirt. What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Is that because they were playing with a sense of freedom because we were up, or the manager had actually said, stick to your positions, you know, just do what I tell you? We don't know, do we? We don't really know the reason.
No,
I guess perhaps a lot of them thought, well, actually, do you know what? Who knows who's coming in? This is my last chance to have a decent game here, and then I'm away.
Yeah, and there was an element before the game of who's going to be on board, what's going to happen, are we going to get thrashed? I did think, are we going to get thrashed? Is it, you know, I'd like to think that there was no players in our squad that would go, I'm just going to give up, and thankfully there wasn't. But there is that element of doubt, isn't there? You think, oh God, are we going to get thrashed? But it was obvious there was a certain number of individuals in the crowd that would have been handing in their CVs, and so equally did the players think that maybe it was an audition for next season. I don't know, but there was a few players that I think played very well. And what did you think of the faces that were around? Obviously, the one we can name is Jay Saunders, because it was very obvious from the start he was there. I think it was the first name everyone come up to me. Have you seen Jay Saunders over there? I jokingly took a photo of him and set up a tweet from Fly Like an Angel to Margate and said, "Oi, Margate, do you know your manager's here? ? Obviously, I didn't send it. There was panic among a few of the fans thinking that, especially Dan. Dan was like, he's not sent it, has he? And I was like, no, don't worry, I haven't. But yeah, what was your thoughts, Lee, with how it panned out and seeing different individuals from non-league around? And
it was obvious, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
It was obvious. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I got some strange messages. You've got to be careful what you say. I got this message on...
I like this. He's got this already and prepared. Look at this.
You know, like people saying, he's up in the States, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just... Yeah. Well, yeah, the thing is, I put on the forum or somewhere, Twitter, onwards and upwards, right? Whatever. This is a message I got. I like this. I'll just read it out because it is not everyone is convinced.
Yeah.
That's the truth, and not everyone is convinced.
Yeah, it's true.
I think it makes sense. You've got a bloke who's played on those pitches.
Yeah.
As obvious decent contacts. We'll have more money, definitely have more money than he had at Margate. We don't know how much more he's going to get than Steve. I'm sure they've already had that conversation. That would have been an interesting conversation.
Big apply on the wall there. God, how much have you really got?
This is onwards and upwards. This is a message I got. Onwards and downwards. We will be swapping leagues with Margate. I thought we had ambitions. And then...
Well, that's great, isn't it? Back the manager straight away. Nice one. That hasn't even been in the job 24 hours.
Like instantly. And I just thought, oh yeah, okay. Better.
It's just brilliant, isn't it? It's just brilliant. You can't please anyone, can you?
I don't know if you have to please anyone. You just get the bloke and you think is going to win.
I agree.
The thing is, though, obviously he's played for two teams that we can't stand, or been involved with two teams we can't stand. But they hold him in pretty high regard, don't they?
That's one thing. And I don't know, Trevor, you want to expand on this because I've talked a lot here, but that is exactly my thing. Maidstone and Margate do not have a bad word to say about the guy. I'm always going to ignore what he's done at Margate, not in the sense that, because, you know, that was my first thing. Like, without doing any research or without doing anything, as soon as I saw and heard, well, as soon as I thought about the prospects of Joe Saunders being a manager, I thought, Margate didn't even finish in the playoffs. And that was my instant reaction. And then you look at the circumstances and what they've done, and you actually, and the way the fans adore him, and you think, actually, that he's done a very, very good job there. I don't know, Trev, what you think.
Yeah, I think to the outside world, he's probably got a little bit of something to prove as well, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's got a bit of, not exactly rebuilding of his career, but he's gone from, National South, National League success to Isthmian sort of average. And he's probably going to say, well, you know, I'm much better than this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's why he was all over this job, like a rash, the muffin was in, the word was out, if not before, if the conspiracy theorists or have you believe that our directors could really be bothered to do that. But, it's, they apparently always been lined up for months and whatever. I mean, it's just stuff. But I think it's, it suits both sides because he brings the experience that Lee said. He's got something to prove. And I think it manages our expectations, because if there were other people, maybe from a bit higher up, there was talk about the chap from Woking and that. Would that maybe have set things off and running a bit too high? Whereas actually, I'm quite happy taking a steady mid-table, 12th next season, 7th the season after that. And, let's put it together, carefully.
And speaking to the board, I think that's the plan. I mean, obviously they haven't officially said, and it's too soon to say, like, the target is this, the target is that. But this is the thing. And one thing, if anyone has any doubts, I would encourage you to contact a member of the board, because every member of that board, in my opinion's main priority is that in 100 years' time, in 50 years' time, Tunbridge Angels Football Club is a football club that is standing. And I genuinely believe that. And I saw some ridiculous comment on the forum where someone said about, when I made a comment about increased budget, and someone said about Billericay and Glenn Tamplin, this is not Billericay, this is ridiculous. Ridiculous comment. It's not like club hasn't got money or club's got a billionaire ex-drug or whatever. Do you know what I mean? That's not the case. This is controlled investment. I genuinely believe that. And people would call me crazy.
What did you just say about Tamplin?
Say anything. No, that was just speculation. Never heard that before. Not come from me. I want my arms at the end of the day. I don't want limbs missing.
That's fair enough.
But yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, I'm just excited. I really am. I'm excited for where the club's going. Full time. He's full time.
Yeah.
We have full time manager.
What was his job then at Margate? What did he do on the side? He was a fisherman or something, was he?
Fisherman.
What goes on in Margate? I don't know where he lives. Yeah.
Worked in what's it called? What's the fanfare down? Dreamland.
He used to be the bloke that on the Dodgems.
and now he is in Dreamland with us, and that's where we're going. That's, oh,
I know, that was funny how you've been building up that.
You're on byline writing that. I've got Jim Rose got his pen out now writing that one down.
Yeah. Save that for my interview. Apparently, I'm looking forward to it. The players are putting a good word, so now hopefully that's going to be coming soon. But yeah, I don't know. I'll ask him. I'm sure I'll get an interview. I'll ask him. But no, that's a good point. So he's now full-time Tunbridge manager.
He's been there 10 minutes and he's already started chopping them.
yeah, we've got a list, haven't we? Good timing for today. Yeah. What do we think of the list?
Is it the correct list?
I think quite a few of us could have written that and got a prize for getting all seven, well, certainly six out of the seven, right?
Yeah. I think so. And then the seventh one added on was a little bit surprising.
Teddy Perkins, I may be a bit unlucky, but it depends. I suspect he's also got people in mind for positions and that already. So
he only played those few games. He may not have even. He might have only just been with us because Welling didn't fancy him. To be honest, the list looks like the list. Like he asked Steve which six he would get rid of, and he gave him those.
There you go. You're out, mate.
they were the players that naturally you would have picked, right?
I think if there is more budget there and there's improvement to be made, and I know Trev doesn't like me doing this word because I say it and then I then go against it, but no disrespect to the players that have just left. I think that yes, potentially you would look and say, well, they're the areas that maybe we would want potentially none of them, players. You know, I don't mean that, but yeah.
None of them were upgrade on the previous season, were they?
No,
we've let in some silly goals and we haven't been scoring. And so, unfortunately, they're the areas that you need to look at. You need to look at the players who have done that. I don't mind saying this on this podcast. I know I don't like to speculate or anything like that. But I also don't... This is speculation. So here we go. Here's like a thing getting it out. This is pure speculation. Absolutely nothing behind this whatsoever. Teddy Perkins is a left-sided centre-back. Ben Swift has left Margate for a higher... To pursue a career at a higher club elsewhere. Mm-hmm. He is, Saunders made him captain at Margate. He's a left-sided centre-back.
He won't get in ahead of that 17-year-old or 18-year-old that played on Saturday, though, will he?
What, Joe?
Nah, what's his name?
You know that I'm not very good at
pronouncing.
Yeah, no, what's the other one? Yeah, Chip, what's the other one's name? The one that's been at Crowborough all season?
Joe Tyree, was it? Is it
Tyree, there we go. Joe Tyree, safely there.
Will you get in ahead of him now?
I thought we played really well. He did.
Yeah. This is the beauty, though, isn't it, of Saunders coming in, I suppose, because there could be some form of continuity. You know, like, he's not going to come in and... Parkey would have said to him, look, there's four or five decent ones here.
Yeah.
And he would probably know, whereas a new bloke would come in and just kill a lot of them.
Exactly. And also... I was having a shower on Sunday morning, and whilst I was having a shower, it hit me from nowhere that I don't know why I was thinking of this. And Parky, you can enjoy this. I was thinking of you in the shower. As I was in the shower, I thought, oh, hang on a minute. Parky was involved in the Maidstone Academy whilst Jay Saunders was first team manager. And it was at that moment that I realised that Jay Saunders was going to be our manager. Now, I thought it's a done deal. Now they haven't announced anything to do with Parky yet. Pure speculation. Parky may not still be at the club. But I personally think, well, there, it puts two and two together. Parky's a successful academy manager. He worked with Jay Saunders. They get on. Surely they're going to work together. And surely, even if, I don't know, we don't know if it's going to be a playing capacity or not for Parky, but the two of them are going to talk, they're going to work together. And I'd like to see, that's maybe one thing, and Steve might disagree with me with this, and he might say something to me and highlight, and I absolutely would love you to be fair, but I don't think we maybe gave as many youngsters a chance as maybe some of previous managers have done. I don't know. Maybe we did. I'm now saying that, and I can think of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I did. Whether some of that sort of kind of environmental, given that we're sort of fighting against relegation.
Yeah, that's true.
Is this the time to pitch the youngsters in to get kicked up in the air?
We were never comfortable enough in games to. No.
to do it. No, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. And I am only thinking from the last season or so. So yeah, that's fair. And to be fair, they did in the Kent Cup. That is very true. So
do you think he'll be his number two then? I don't know who his number two was at Margate. I hadn't looked.
I don't know either.
I think it'd be a good choice. He did the work in the dugout when he was off injured all that time, didn't he, with Stephen Barry. So
Parkey in his number two.
Yeah, if he's got an ambition to do that, I think it would be
I'd like to think if Parkey's around, of course we don't know yet, I'd like to think that they're going to involve Parkey. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they get on. It'd be interesting. The one that is interesting, speculation, probably listen, Sonny Miles. Because, of course, Jay took Sonny to Maidstone. But then also didn't play him for the last few games of their champions winning season of the Roman Prem. And then also didn't keep Sonny on for their first season in the National League South. Now, I think Sonny... And the club, I noticed this on the club's bio or Sonny, but I think Sonny came back from Maidstone a better player, dare I say it. And I think this last season, actually, I think has, other than goals scored, because he hasn't scored any goals, I think from a defensive point of view, I think he's had one of his best seasons with us and is a proven Conference South defender. So that will be interesting. If for any reason Sonny does go, I'm sure we'll never know whether it was his decision or the club's decision or Jay's decision. But equally, if he does stay, I think that would be really good. And the geeky Sonny Miles fan inside me is really hoping that this appointment means that we've now got another season of Sonny and he can go and get that all-time appearance record for the Angels.
But there's one thing you said there, though. I don't know. I know there's elements of this, but from the way Jay Saunders managed and developed Maidstone, he doesn't appear to be particularly sentimental, whereas Steve McKim offered every player a contract when we got promoted from the Isthmian, I think Maidstone got promoted, Saunders did the opposite and he turfed them all out. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how that levels up.
Very, very true. And also, budget-wise, we don't know what the budget is. We can speculate it. But what we do know, we don't know, but it was fairly obvious that Maidstone had a very, very big budget and their target was National League. One thing, though, linked into that, which Dan put on the forum, which is very true, you could argue that them getting promoted was the first sign of them actually at last getting over the effect of sacking Saunders. Because if you ask Maidstone fans, I think a lot of them don't think he deserved to go when he went. Some do. Everyone's going to be 50-50. It's probably the same with Stephen Tunbridge. But they've taken a while to get back.
I guess they're thinking if you go down with the manager who got you promoted, he's likely to get you back up again. It's possible. I mean, let's just hope... we get some decent players in. We'll soon know, won't we? As soon as he names the first name.
Yeah, we'll have an idea.
We'll have an idea, won't we?
Yeah.
Question is, will we end up with the best squad we've ever had? That's what I was saying.
No, we've just released seven of them.
it's very likely.
Oh, that was brilliant.
If ever there was something that was going to come back to haunt someone, it was that, wasn't it?
Oh, God.
From the best squad we've ever had to few, we've just avoided relegation with the game.
I was having this conversation on Saturday on the way to the game with a load of blokes in their 70s who were saying, we're 1955, we signed this bloke from Hearts. And this person, the season before, won the league at Manchester City, and then the war broke out, and then he came and played. And you just think, the best team we ever had was before we were born. They would have walked up and beat this team, our current team, 10-0 by the sounds of it. And then we had such and such, and he played 12 games for the Republic of Ireland. And then we had such, and he came from Arsenal. And you're like, yeah, okay, football was different back then. And there was no minimum wage. That was it. The team back then was 10 times better than the team we have now and 10 times better than any team we will ever have.
I like to think that when we're 80, 90, we'll be doing the same thing, talking about Johnny Henley as the best. Is that penalty save against Kings Lynn? I remember Johnny. But yeah, that's do you know what's actually quite depressing? Was that there's certain, like, I speak to a lot of Tunbridge fans, and there's certain Tunbridge fans that I speak to that weren't even, like, that weren't even of an age to realise, remember when we got Tommy Worrell as manager. You know what I mean? And he was only three managers ago. Or even Steve McKim. They were like kids, really. Yeah. And, you know what I mean? 8 years, you know.
Yeah.
Harrison, for example, who was supposed to run tonight, he was 10 when Steve McKim took over. Bloody hell. We are loyal. We are loyal to our managers. They stay for a long time.
Well, maybe not anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe this is... Maybe this
Well, hopefully, because you don't want him to get sacked.
Maybe. No, I'm just saying. It would be kind of nice if Jay got us promoted next season. The season afterwards, we don't do so well, and then they sack him. And then in 4 years' time, we have the bloke who's just got, I don't know, whoever it is, promoted from where
promoted
he
into the you league know. Too. Yeah.
And you know, Hessenthal or someone.
Someone
ridiculous. Let's just get them all lined up and now.
Someone mentioned that name when they was talking about new managers. I said, "Doug, go away, go away." No Hessenthal. Way.
They'll probably have a decent budget, Dover, won't they? They've just spent the season just sitting there nicely waiting to be relegated.
You'd think so. We've lost Maidstone. This is another thing we need to talk about in general, because I'm going to have an end of season podcast anyway, so obviously it's been highly changed from what's gone on. But next season, we've lost Maidstone. We've lost my local team, Billericay.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, it's a shame. I said this the other day, it sounds so horrible, and touch wood, this one happened to Tunbridge. When you look at the bottom four, in the end, I'm gutted four didn't go down.
Yeah.
But Chelmsford, Bath and Welling.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that would have been nice. That would have been four. Yeah, but anyway.
We've got Worthing. Their horrible plastic pitch and bent referees that beat us 4-0 every time. We got Chesham, who no one's got a clue apart from that gobby manager who used to manage Billericay. What's his name?
Oh, Craig, is that Craig Edwards.
Ably supported by Ugo Adoji, who's his assistant manager.
Is he actually?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Oh, wow. There's a link, because that was funny, because when you said Worthing, that always reminds me of him, because I think, did he get sent off there? I can't remember.
They all got
shot. Those own two. And then what was on? Farnborough. Those lovely people down at Farnborough.
Dover.
And Weymouth.
Weymouth. Is it Weymouth coming down? Is it there?
Weymouth. And then what's that one over in Devon?
Is there
someone in Devon coming up?
Well, I don't know.
No, I think the points per whatever did for them.
All right.
It's
nothing like a mid podcast about next season where I'm googling who our teams are
going to be there.
We haven't got the playoffs yet, so we might yet still have Dorking in with us.
Yeah,
true. Yeah,
you know, they're obviously going to spend money. The man with a hat will be chucking money at it again.
Yeah, very true. Well, who have we got? We've got Eastbourne, Dartford, Ebbsfleet, Dorking.
Chippenham.
Hungerford. Oof. And all the other ones who didn't go down. Yeah. Chelmsford, Welling, Bath.
Are Chippenham in the playoffs?
No, sorry, I was looking at my bad. I didn't really say that very well. So in the playoffs, we've got Dorking, Ebbsfleet, Dartford, Oxford, Eastbourne, and Chippenham.
Yeah.
So selfishly, I would like to keep Dartford and Ebbsfleet and Eastbourne, because they always bring a through and I quite like playing them. Oxford, I wouldn't care if they go up, because that was depressing.
It's quite like Oxford to go out of all those teams. I like Oxford to go up because it's the least enjoyable one to go to.
Yeah, I agree.
And it might bankrupt them or something, and that would be quite amusing.
Also, it would be quite funny if Chippenham went up. when you look at that, might be a classic case of Concord Rangers when they won it and then couldn't get promoted because of the seats and stuff. Could you remember that?
Because the bloke who owned it said, "I'm no way, I'm bankrolling."
Yeah, he said, "Take away a few seats, that's why we can't go up." I don't know what would happen if you're going to whether they do that or not. But so it's exciting, and we have that hate relationship with them, don't we? But wish Maidstone the best next season. I shouldn't say that, should I? But you're split as a Tunbridge fan, and I'm going to get stick for saying this. You either hate them because you hate them and you're a football fan and you hate your rivals, or you love to hate them. And it's all about that day, that big game. And in my lifetime, I know there are Tunbridge fans who have been Tunbridge fans going back years that have a genuine hatred for Maidstone because of what went back on in the day. But in my lifetime, I've always enjoyed the games against them, other than some idiot kids throwing bottles at our heads. But you get that everywhere.
And I...
you don't. You don't. Get, no,
you
sorry.
Get stuff,
sorry. No. You. Sorry. No. 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 You don't get everywhere. You get idiot kids. You get idiot kids. Sorry. You don't get ballsy head. So I personally will miss the derby against Maidstone. I'm not. I don't like Maidstone.
You've got the delights of the Crabble instead.
Exactly. And that's my point. I'd actually rather play Maidstone than Dover. I don't like Dover's my team. Perhaps it's because when I was a kid and there's my memories of Tunbridge was Dover tended, there was always a fight. Warrilow and Hessentire, I know they're supposedly talk now, but they were at each other. Like the Dover fans, they always used to fight, like they used to come and look for a fight. I remember me and my dad walking down Dover High Street, if you can call it that, and just one random fat drunk guy in a Dover shirt just looked at me and my dad, I must have been about eight, and just looked at us and went, Tunbridge effing scum. And you think, cheers, mate, yeah, we're going to fight you, aren't we? And
he's, probably one, he's probably one of the stewards now.
Yeah, probably.
He probably still behaves the same as well.
Yeah. So Dover is my team that I genuinely just haven't got time for. And it's also a rubbish ground. You've got to walk up that muddy rugby pitch if it's raining, get all stuck in the air. Anyway, I'll stop moaning. Next season will be fun. Let's beat them. Let's thrash them. Come on, let's thrash Dover. Jay Saunders, let's thrash Dover.
Are they going to be the Christmas, do you think? Are they going to be Christmas and New Year?
I reckon they were, weren't they?
Yeah.
I remember we went there New Year's Day.
They could just decide that Dartford, well, we don't know who's going up yet. We could have Dartford or Ebbsfleet as our...
That would be all right.
Dartford away on Boxing Day would be all right, would it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We tend to get Welling and Dulwich and people like... It's really weird because we used to tend to get the local derby on Boxing and New Year's Day, and then we'd get like the next one on the bank holiday Mondays, wouldn't we, alternative? But recently it hasn't been that as such. But a bank holiday Monday, I always love a bank holiday Monday derby, like as in the August one and the end of the season one being reverse fixtures.
I think quite a few people will be angling for Weymouth for the August bank holiday.
Oh, yeah,
nice long weekend away.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wouldn't it be good, like have on the Saturday have like Worthing and then Weymouth or something? Yeah, yeah. No, actually, you probably wouldn't want that because you want to do them separate times. But have a little tour, that would be good.
Chippenham and Weymouth, you could have a little West Country.
Yeah, that would be all right. Yeah.
Taunton, that was it. You've missed. We forgot Taunton.
Taunton, are they definitely going up?
Yeah, for now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the one I thought. That's the one I thought of. Because didn't we play? Yeah. Are they the same team we beat in the FA Cup?
Oh,
or was that someone else?
I don't know.
Taunton or Truro or come with a team.
No, it was the one that we beat 4-5-0 in COVID.
Yeah, it was Taunton, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Well, I sort of forget that because we weren't there. I also sort of, yeah, Tunbridge 5, Taunton Town 0.
Bosh.
Yeah.
How cheap to mess with us.
Yeah.
Smashing them in 5-0 again.
Yeah, yeah. Ben Greenow, what do you reckon? Would you take him back?
No, thank you.
No. It wouldn't be an improvement, really. It'd just be a substitute for Tom Beale. Yeah, it's a sort of... You want someone better now.
Yeah, fair point. Don't look backwards. Yeah.
In hindsight, Steve should have got rid of Beale and kept Ben, shouldn't he?
Possibly, yeah.
I personally think, although it was clear that Ben Greenow's pace necessarily wasn't up to National League South, I think he was... worth position in the squad on the basis of corner taking and free kick taking alone.
If that's one thing we can definitely improve on, it's those two things. Yeah. I mean, that'd be dire.
Yeah,
absolutely dire.
You can't even moan about this being said. It was awful, and what frustrated me was the lack of the lack of change of either takers or the individual takers not changing it up. was what I found incredibly frustrating. Now
hitting the first man, either hitting the first man over and over or hitting the other corner flag at every corner and nothing in between.
Yeah.
I mean, Beer's goal scoring record, I think we had a look, didn't we, towards the end of the season. Was it something like 6 goals in 100 something games? Which, you know, for a bloke who's having pot shots at goal from free kicks, it's not that great,
it's
is it?
Great.
I just think sometimes when it's not happening, you might as well just let a bloke with a hard shot just hit it. There's, you know,
yeah.
trying to be clever and curl the ball and dip it when you can't.
Yeah.
Just because.
Well, as Coombs finally showed, didn't it? They let Coombs take one, and he nearly took the net off.
Yeah, it was a great,
great goal.
Yeah. Joe, my other team, as you all know, is the one that's always made me laugh. Is Harry Kane. Harry Kane has scored one free kick in his career, and it was deflected off the Aston Villa wall when he first came into the squad under Tim Sherwood. And up until this season, every single time Tottenham or England get a free kick in or around the box, the commentators would say, this is in Harry Kane's territory. And I'd always think, no, it's not. And now this season, it's like they've realised that and they now talk about how bad his record is. And in fact, Conte has started putting Dyer back on free kicks because he scored a couple. But exactly that. Dyer is not going to curl it around the wall. It's just the defender lumps it, smashes it. And sometimes you think, keep it simple. If someone quoted to me how long Tunbridge went without scoring a direct free kick, and I can't.
It was a colossal length of time, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was. And you just try something different. But there we go. I'm not a free kick taker, and I couldn't do it. So, and another thing, and the players have said this. One thing we didn't do this year was obviously score as many goals as we'd like to, but the defenders didn't. Score, you can say that this is linked in together because of the corner taking quality, but we didn't score many goals from corners or defenders knocking it in, long throws, anything like that, which normally over the years we do. Sonny's normally gets a few, and there's normally defenders, Parky, Rian Bray, when we had him.
Oaksy, he could always get one off his back, couldn't he?
Yeah, that one at Braintree away, wasn't it? The own goal that he. But then also, another thing, Folksy. I actually do miss, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying by all means love Folksy to bits. I'm not saying Folksy for next season, but I mean, I used to love his blistering pace and he had a quality ball in. And Elder used to say that Folksy could actually put a brilliant ball into him, didn't he? So we sort of haven't had that as much from our wing backs this year, but equally we've been playing wing backs and I've already put on the forum that I don't like the wing back system. And I do. We won't go into it because it's boring and football tactical stuff, but I don't like it at non-league. And also, I just like having a full-back bombing past a winger and it opens up space and stuff. But there we go.
Well, we haven't actually had a crowd pleaser this season, really, have we? Joe Turner does his best. But, you know, it was a lot of home games in particular because we're just so intent on not losing. Particularly those of us who stand behind the goal, who spend 20 minutes thinking, look, can you just pop it up here for a bit so they can remind what it looks like? Yeah, whilst everyone else is watching a masterclass in defending by us up the other end. But, I'd love to get a little crowd pleaser in.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to play Joe on the left to get the best out of him.
Yeah, or either wing. But yes.
But good. But on the left, he cuts inside and he shoots. So he cuts inside, he got chopped down for a penalty, and you were like, oh, there are.
Yeah,
see, he's still got it. If I don't know what happened and why Steve played him all over the place, but if I'd been Steve and I'd been manager, I'd have said, right, you're playing on the left, and that's the end of that, because it might be a one trick pony, but if it's a really good trick, then use it.
Wheeler to Elder goal, you know, that was one trick.
Exactly.
Worked a lot.
And I also, when you've got Tommy Wood, and I know I made a statement about Ibs at the beginning of the season that come back to bite me about the amount of goals I believed Ibs could get, but I genuinely believe, and I'm not the only one, with the right service, I think Tommy Wood is a quality striker at this level. And I think it was proven because in the games that he got the delivery, he got goals. And if you look at his goals since January, but there wasn't that many games where I feel that we set up in the way that best complements Tommy Wood. And you could then argue and say, well, maybe Tommy Wood, you could flip on that and say, well, he didn't score in those games. But I genuinely think exactly what you said there. Yeah. Wheeler to Elder, it works. It's non-league football sometimes, it works. Just get it on the wing and get it across.
Teams know what's coming, but they couldn't stop it, or most of them couldn't. It worked. Worked. And yeah, sometimes you've just got to say, well, you know, there he is. There's your man on the left, and he's going to come inside, and he's going to skin you and beat you. And you think, well, I'll put two up against him, and then that frees up a bit of space in the middle for someone else. Yeah. But there's no point. But let's be honest, if you play Turner on the left and they went over across and marked him, who was in the middle kicking the ball in the net? Nobody.
No.
I mean, Beer seemed reluctant to have a shot.
Mm.
You got Doug Loft, who was back on the halfway line,
Yeah,
because he was sort of defensive midfielder, and that left, I mean, essentially nobody.
And
you can't keep getting bailed out. The trouble is, we were bailed out by getting loans. I mean, when you don't want your first team squad to be desperate that people come in and prop it up. You want to say, well, this is the team we've got, and these guys will help us out. But actually, we should have picked a team strong enough in the first place not to have to get these loan players in. I mean, we only got them in because the first team weren't doing it. The choices the team picked weren't doing it, because if the team he picked were doing it, he wouldn't have had to. It's nice to be for Wimbledon or whoever, I don't know, Crystal Palace, whoever.
Yeah, James Taylor, I think, very good player, and I think he played very well, and I think the longer the season went on, I think he, other than his obviously injury, I don't know.
We became reliant on those players.
Yeah.
They wasn't, you know, you think that's fantastic, they've loaned us a player, this is great news, that will complement the squad. It wasn't, they weren't complementing the squad, they were carrying it.
Yeah, we have that guy from Sutton who was
Adam Lovett.
Those two were carrying.
Well, we missed. I think Adam Lovett, who we thought was going to be there for longer, obviously, didn't we? And I think James Taylor was sort of like for Adam Lovett, wasn't he? But I think we missed that. We missed that role.
We assume both of those players will be released by. Has he been released, Taylor, or something?
I don't know. I don't know if he's. I don't know if what they'll say about Taylor, because.
Yeah. I read that he has been released, yeah.
Oh, he's in by Palace, sorry.
By Palace, you're looking to get a club in the Championship or something, aren't you?
Well, you want Wimbledon or Cheltenham or something like that.
You're not looking to come down to us.
He's going to try and get a full-time, right?
Of course he is.
I also think he could. I think if Adam Lovett can play for Sutton in League Two, I think James Taylor is just as good. I don't mean this bad against Adam, if not better. I actually think James Taylor potentially was out of the two of them. I think James Taylor looked actual class. I don't think he looked like he's going to get in a Crystal Palace first team, but he looks like he's going to be a solid League One, League Two player. So, or Conference, because you've got League One and Two quality players in the Conference these days because of the money that's about. So, and potentially in the Conference South, depending on what you believe about our budget. anything else you want to say about next season or anything that's gone on? Anything we've missed off so far?
I went down and had a look at the pitch yesterday.
Pitch? Yeah, we only talked about the pitch.
Mm.
Yes.
They closed the road, so I had to go down past the ground. And I thought, well, I might as well. So I just wandered in there. It looks a right old mess. But I'm sure it won't win. That's hopefully that's it's not finished now.
Is it weird not seeing floodlights, or is it more weird because it's all just brown and dug up?
It's all brown and dug up, but it goes right up to the stands. All the footpaths and everything have gone around the.
Oh, what? Well, the footpaths are gone as well. Is that all being done?
The goal at the town end, I guess. Yeah, the pitch goes right up to it.
The town end.
The town end.
The town end.
What end would you call it? The home end? What do you want to call it?
It's called the south stand.
But I like that. Look at your campaign to rename it the town end.
Yeah.
We are the town end, boys. We're singing our rule.
We just need to move the town a bit closer.
Or it could be the bowling green end.
I think
I'm going to chuck the bowling green off, apparently, I've heard.
Oh,
they want them away.
Do they?
Yeah, you know what they're like.
The other thing they're doing is all the spoil from the pitch is basically being turned into a huge, I think the technical term is bond wall, a sort of anti-flood defence. So it's going sort of right along behind the silent stand that you used to sit in and right up on the... right up along where the marquee you know, grass.
Yeah, yeah.
All along the back,
it would come in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, all along the back there's going to be a kind of 4-foot-high mound.
Cool.
As part of the flood defences to stop the pitch washing down to Maidstone when it rains.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, stopping all the rubber bits getting in the river, as I know people
are concerned about.
So is that
a real thing, that rubber bits going in the river, do you think?
Don't know.
If it floods the way, proper flooding, it will. Yeah. Because the kind we had a few years back, but I think this is all supposed to, you know, as near as they can, prevent it from happening.
Yeah.
I assume the pitch gets raised a bit as well, you would guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I was interested to see if it was the same size. I wondered whether they might take the opportunity to narrow it down a bit, but it's still the same size.
I was going to say the fellow who planned the pitch and put in the applications and that, he lives about four doors along. So I asked him about the pitch and he said it's going to be exactly the same size.
Oh, that's good. It's great.
I think isn't that the UEFA rules now, that when you're laying a pitch, unless you're restricted due to stadium, you have to have the standard size now, I think.
Yeah.
It's the biggest.
I thought ours was larger than standard size. So some, maybe they're old pitches that have been down that are a bit skinny, but ours has always been very big.
Yeah. It's the Wembley of Kent, isn't it?
Yep.
So sorry, I cut you off, Lee. So they're redoing all the paths all around, and
yeah, all of it, aren't they? And all the barriers have gone, and the floodlights have gone, and whatever.
So are they going to put Are they putting the same barriers? This sounds like such a boring thing to ask. Are they putting the same barriers back, or are they going to be new barriers?
No, they're replacing them.
What, all the blue and with the yellow gate that I fell through?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say.
Those days are gone.
Going to be sensible now.
Yeah. No pitch invasions.
None of that.
It's good. That was a dangerous gate.
You know, we might be terrible. We might not need to have a pitch invasion. We don't know yet, do we?
No, true. No, very true. True. And if we do, we won't dig it up.
We're jumping over the barrier when we finish first.
That's what I'm going for next year. That's all. Nothing less than first.
Sophie, when I first spoke to Sophie last season, was it last? I don't know. Whenever it was, she said, "Wouldn't it be great if after we've put the plastic pitch down, we have to pull it back up to get in the Football League?" That's what she said. So for all we know, perhaps they're generally going to chuck some real money at it.
But joking aside, the ambition's there. And Trev, how many times have we talked about Tunbridge and the ambition and the mentality of little old Tunbridge? Yeah. And Trev, I know you say this to me and you say it on the forum. There's so many people at our club, whether they're fans or whether they're previous people that have had influence, that accept us for what we are or what we have been. Why not
have a go, you know?
What's
the worst that can happen? We get relegated back down to the Isthmian.
Which would have happened anyway.
That exactly what you're saying is probably why Steve lost his job. I know a conversation I had with the chairman, but in my mind, Steve was looking at ways not to lose sometimes.
Yeah.
And we want someone who's looking at ways to win. I'm not saying it's that cut and dry, but You didn't want to hear when you were playing away at Chippenham that it was going to be a difficult game because they'd been in the league for 4 years. I mean, they're just Chippenham, aren't they? It's not like we're going to play Nottingham Forest, is it? We're playing Chippenham, you know. It's going to be a tough game or whatever. Yeah, but just go there and try.
But also the same at home. And I do get that. I do understand. No matter what people's reasons, I don't want to get dragged into what was right and what's wrong. But I understand the viewpoint of if you're playing in front of 1,000 people at home against, I know we beat Billericay 2-0 and I can't remember what team we laid out against Billericay, but if, let's just use that as an example, and you're playing not to lose or you're playing one up top, whether tactics are wrong or right and Steve McKim's an experienced football manager, I'm not. I understand why there are people or the club might say, well, that's we want to entertain because entertainment brings people back, and if we're not doing that, I get that viewpoint. I'm sure Steve does as well.
When we played Billericay that season, they were up the top and Joe Turner scored that goal.
We
went for them.
Yeah, we really gave them a go.
Yeah.
And when we played Ebbsfleet the other week, our mindset was completely different to the way we approached
but then, the rookie game. We had nothing to play for because we were safe and there was no way we were getting relegated, but we also pretty much weren't going to go up.
Yeah, there were loads of games to play and then we knew there was one going down and we knew that their goal difference was rookie. So we never really really been in danger. We always thought we'd win one, lose two, win one, lose two, pick up enough. We were never really in danger of going down, were we? Not really.
No, the goal difference gave us enough of a cushion.
And self-belief.
The other thing that I touched on at the start of my short but long introduction for Steve, and this means that we'll have to finish soon because Joe's had to turn the light on.
The lights on.
we know podcasts are never short. But I think, Trevor, you might have said this on the forum. Tommy Warrilow, obviously, one season too many. Is it that case? You know, forget about what's happened. It's a case of thank you very much. Yes, Steve, your job was to keep us up and you did that. And thank you very much. But is this a case of now the club saying, in the club's opinion, they fear that another season might have resulted in something similar, so they want to change it up? And I know the board is different. There are a few members that were here when Warrilow was manager. But is it a case of, well, actually, last time we didn't do that, we ended up relegated, so let's try something different? I know it's different people, but...
It sort of naturally run its course, maybe.
I think it comes that. When you've been hanging over a rail at a football club for 50-odd years like I have, you can kind of just get it sense in the air. Yeah. You know, it's just like this. It really is just time for a new face, a new voice, some new ideas. And it's as you say, maybe sometimes these things do just run their course. Let's put our hands on our hearts and say, if Steve had stayed, would we seriously expect next season to have been significantly different? And I don't think it would, because the way he plays, the style he plays, we know it, we understand it, we get what it's about. And I'm not saying we wouldn't have improved and moved forward, but I think it would have been more of the same, because that's who he is. And sometimes it's just quite nice to watch something different.
I think that, and I also think, and trying to, whether this makes someone like Steve feel better or not, but trying to defend the decision as well. If you have an increased budget and you've got all this change and you keep it the same, right, then you're going to, our first game next season, I'd like to think we're going to get well over 1,000 because it's the 3G and because of this clearly a bigger budget there, and we're going to have hopefully some exciting players. I'm not talking well beaten, I'm just saying this from what we've had in the past. But now we've got Jay Saunders, it's, and what's happened, bad press, good press, there's been press, right? And we are suddenly now, like, anyone that knows anything from football from around Tunbridge will know Jay Saunders, will know what's gone on at Maidstone. And I feel like what's getting Jay Saunders in for at least one game is going to get us X amount of people through the door on the basis of what's gone on.
The big thing, if I can just cut in there, the fixture list is going to be absolutely critical, actually. It's going to be, if we get...
If we lose five.
rather than chipping them at home or something, there's going to be an element of luck involved to whether we're likely to win our first four games or lose our first four games. You know?
And Yeah, exactly. As we said on Saturday, when we saw Jay Saunders in the crowd and said, imagine if we lose our first five games, whatever's happened, unfortunately, Jay Saunders, ex-Maidstone, whatever, like any new manager comes in, Steve McKim has done a good job or whatever, it's going to be tough. If we do go on a run of losing games, that sounds so negative because I'm actually really excited. I don't mean it to be, but it is there. And I'm sure Jay Saunders will know that and the club will know that. And it's a risk that they're prepared to take.
Well, if you could say after Steve's first season, when we only just stayed up, which we did, they could have got rid of him, couldn't they?
But you also look at that first season. We only just stayed up, but as you said there, Trev, luck of the fixture list, that first game we won 4-1 and we all thought, oh, we're going straight back up again, didn't we? Tommy Whitnell got a hat-trick and we all thought, oh, who's this goal machine? But do you know, I don't mean that in a bad way, but it is fixtures, isn't it? It can happen. That's the other thing, not that I'm anyone to say anything, but if anyone could take anything away from this podcast, give it a try. Don't give it 10 games. You know, don't think of what we've just said there. Don't go moaning if we're bottom after five. Like, give the project a chance. I'm not saying we've got to be like Man United fans and be stuck for 10 years, but
there will be an awful lot of "I told you so"s going around if we make a slow start to next season.
Yeah, definitely.
What we don't want, and we're gonna have, is people whining on about the pitch.
Oh yeah.
It's done now.
Well, it's the same as the manager, to be frank. It's done. You know, let's just get on with it. Let's just see what tomorrow brings and have some fun.
No, brilliant. I agree. And before we finish up, that's it. 8 years. Like, as I said at the beginning, I will look back on the last 8 years with, other than one moment, and for Trev, other than one moment, of complete fondness. But even my one moment, and Trev will say this probably, was absolutely made up for from a phone call, and the guy I do like, Steve, and I will look back on the last 8 years and go, do you know what, I've had some amazing times, I've really really enjoyed it, we've had some amazing games, we've had some amazing wins, even just a random league game beating Billericay 2-1, that's one of my highlights of watching Tunbridge Angels. You know, that was such a good enjoyable game. We've had some great players, we've seen some great times, and it's like that chapter. It's not the book closed, but it's like that chapter's now closed and we've had a great chapter. And let's see what the next one brings. Anything else either of you want to add about anything that I may have missed off?
I don't know. I'll let Lee mention chips, but apart from that, no.
I'm not bothered about chips. It's sausages to me.
Sausages.
Did we mention that we've got a new commercial?
No, we didn't. We got paid roles. This is the thing.
So I hope he's knocking on doors now. And calling in favours from.
I will say this on here. The podcast / cheeky plug. If anyone doesn't know, I'm a mortgage advisor. ArrangeMyMortgage.com. Bobby Stewart. Anything to do with mortgages, hit me up. I sponsor in the sense that I've got a few adverts at the club. I'm getting shaking heads around there. That was a cheek plug. He's on it. He's absolutely on it. He got in his job yesterday, and he's calling round, and he's starting straight on. It's the first time we've had someone do full time, and he's, you know, this isn't what I've been told, but it's obvious his job's got to pay for itself and some, hasn't it? Same with Sarah Parks. Her job's only or that not her job, but that role is only there if that role can earn X amount more than the salary. And this is the first time that our club's had such positions. Interestingly, as someone, once again, I disagreed with on the forum, said about budget and things like that. Well, I'm sorry, there won't always be money there from somewhere to pay for those roles, because as I say, they'll pay for themselves, but there's got to be some substantial money that's coming from somewhere to pay for those salaries to start with. Because like any business, you need the kickstart before you start seeing the rewards.
It's an educated gamble, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember years ago, even when I come out of, I used to be quite interested in marketing and stuff like that. And when I come out of sixth form, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I was looking at sort of apprentice marketing roles at football clubs and things like that. And I always thought a club like Tunbridge Angels, if the money's there to pay for the role, needs it because that would pay so much for itself. So hopefully Ross does that. And I'm sure he will. Seems like a nice guy. And he is a Tunbridge fan, and if anyone has any doubts, you can go on Twitter, because during lockdown, he did used to communicate with the Tunbridge Angels Fly Like an Angel page way before there was anything to do with him getting the job, well over a year ago. So I've got evidence of that. So Ross, you're a Tunbridge fan. Welcome to the club from an official capacity in your new role, and we look forward to seeing how it goes. Likewise, if Jay Saunders try and says that he's been a Tunbridge fan all his life and it's his dream role, I won't believe you, Jay. and I also understand Jay Saunders has got a tattoo of Maidstone. So there might have to be some something changed there. So.
Yeah. Perhaps we could club together and get him a skin graft.
Yeah. Get Martin Baker back and get him to change it into what Martin's is. Hello, Martin, if you're listening. How are we? do you know what? I'll challenge you both here. This is completely prepared. A word, summarise. How do you feel?
In one word?
Or one word, two words, just summarise. What do you reckon? One word, go on, one word. I could see your eyes light up there, one word. I'm not going to lie, I feel more pressure for Trev here. I feel like Lee, yours is, I don't know, yeah.
Semi-optimistic.
I was going to go with cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic. Yeah.
I think it's got a lot of potential. And I don't, you know, aside from people being arsey about the manager and the pitch just because of what they are, I don't see a downside, really.
No, I don't.
I can, you know, think you'd like to think the only way is up.
Yeah. The only way is up.
Yeah.
This time next year we'll be millionaires.
Yeah, that's the one. I'll find that pocket watch somewhere.
EU days.
Yeah.
Exactly that. And that is
genuinely, I mean, I'll say more than one word, but I'm delighted the board are giving it a go.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know that's because there is potential here. There's some, they're lovely people anyway. I mean, I've, you know, seen them around the ground and talked to them on the train and whatever. Perfectly approachable. Sophie has got a track record, let's use it. Let's give it a go. What's the worst can happen? We end up, you know, playing.
That's true. The worst thing that can happen is we get relegated. I mean, yeah. how bad is that really?
Yeah.
It's we played it quite safe, haven't we, for a while.
Yeah.
No, let's have a go.
Let's get different.
I don't know, some people do. No one particularly likes the thought of change, but it's happening, and I am incredibly excited for the future. So excited would be my word. I like the cautiously excited without running around saying, we're going to win the league, because I don't.
Oh, we're also being realistic. That's
realistically optimistic. Realistic. Cautiously optimistically excited. Yeah. For some reason,
on that fence, mate.
For some reason, that didn't make the press release.
One thing before you go.
Yeah.
Don't forget the garden show.
Don't forget the garden show. It's coming up this weekend. The weather's going to be lovely. Brilliant. Get down there, spend your money, have a beer.
My girlfriend's singing on Sunday.
Oh, excellent. Is she rock choir or tuneless choir?
Rock choir.
He didn't know then, did he? He wasn't sure. He's just plumbed that out of the air.
50-50 yeah. Job. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I hope you're going to be down there supporting him there and spending your money behind the bar.
Christ, no.
Oh, brilliant. What about, and then there's Angel Fest coming up as well, isn't there?
Yep.
I know, I see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then there's... some old tribute nonsense. Is there Queen or something?
I'm all for the marketing and all that, but I'm so glad I don't have to skip through 10 minutes of some rubbish Robbie, not 10 minutes, 10 seconds of a rubbish Robbie Williams at the beginning of every one of our...
Has he been and gone now, Robbie?
Yeah, it's been and gone, yeah.
Yeah. The next paid one should be a communications manager. When we can afford one of those. I can do disrespect to... Which actually means, there's a tweet today, which actually means in any other language, fuck off and die. But in English, no disrespect. But it is four or five different people pulling it together. Yeah. And it'd be nice to have one person who was really sort of at the helm of that.
The one thing I would say, which I hope changes, is with all these new people involved, particularly with communications, is I always find that when we communicate the garden show, it's communicated to sort of the Tunbridge supporters, the Tunbridge supporters Facebook page, Tunbridge. It's not commuting. It's almost like it's a sort of closed shop. We've got Angel Fest, and it's Angel Fest Angel supporters. It's not Angel Fest for the people of Tunbridge. We've been a bit.
We have tried to fight that battle a little bit with the garden show this year, but
it's going to be more than just the Tunbridge.
Yeah. You want to attract different people. Different people will come to a garden and craft show that will come and watch people kick a ball.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's good. Also, just a random one. In my conversation with Ross as well, and without wanting to bombard him, any ideas like that, basically, the role of Ross is to create the club more money, right? And he has said that he is... any ideas, beforehand, you've got members of the board, whatever, he's more than happy to speak to anyone with any ideas, just because of he's open to... he's got a new job, right? Anyway, I think he'd do the same.
I go back to, you know, when the team had a green and white hooped away shirt. I think we should.
Because he's a Rangers fan.
If you could run that idea past him, I would be.
I like that. We've gone full circle now, haven't we? We've gone from having people involved with Celtic fans, and now we've got Rangers fans. There's always a link there. But yeah, anything but black and blooming yellow. Yellow's fine. Yellow's fine. Just not yellow and black.
Just a nice. Are we due a kit change?
Oh, probably not, because we've already only had it 1 year.
They've got Furnham on it, hasn't it? So they probably won't change it.
No.
Because they're going to be obviously sponsoring us for the foreseeable future, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Someone on Twitter, I think his name's Ray, mentioned that his grandchildren, when asked do they prefer the home or away kit, answered the away kit. Well, I can answer that. It's because looking at it as a kit, forgetting about anything, it does naturally sit better. I think the way the colours and everything go, it does sit better. But it's yellow and black. Yeah, the home kit is untidy. I don't actually like it very much. Mm. The way the white stripes and stuff go, it doesn't go with the badge and the rest of it. It clashes. Whereas at least the away kit stands out. But it's still yellow and black. And it's, I know amber. I know Dan Colgis. I know it's amber over the road, but it just looks it. It's just, like Tottenham wouldn't go and wear a red away kit, would they? I know we've got red on the sponsor, but it's just
shit is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'll have to tick the explicit box now. But yeah, we got an hour and 20 in. But no, brilliant. Well, thank you so much, both. It's been a pleasure to see you both. I look forward to this pre-season. Over the next coming day, yeah. might have to do a podcast soon on the players, because see what we've got coming in. Hopefully, this will be after this goes out. Hopefully, I'll be able to get some interviews in with any retained players. Jay Saunders, hopefully. Really hope that I can continue this relationship with the club that the podcast has had. I'm sure, touch wood, unless we've said anything today, no one likes, and hopefully we will. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you both very much.
And you. See you again in a few weeks' time. The launch of the plastics.